So welcome again, everybody, for another satsang. And, you know, one of the questions that people have in their mind most of the time is about some of the obstacle that comes during meditation. Is about dryness in spiritual world. Dryness, oh, pressure. So I remember when I had gone to one of my teachers in Kriya Yoga tradition, and I went to him and told him, I am feeling very frustrated because I'm not feeling anything in my being. I feel so dry many days. And he would say, how long has this been? I said, 1 week. He said, okay. And then he wouldn't say anything. He just said, okay, keep going on, keep going on. Then I would go back after a few days back to him and call him and tell him, you know, I'm experiencing a lot of euphoria, lot of bliss, lot of joy. Lots of joy, and thank you so much for this joy that you're giving me, and you know how much it is, and this Kriya is giving me so much of happiness. I've found it, I've got it, I'm here. And you say, okay, very good, carry on. And then after a week I would crash again from that state back into the state of complete dryness, where I could feel nothing, no feelings arising in my being, and I would say, where the hell is it gone? My mind would be disturbed, agitated. And I would call him up again, and he would say, you know, yes, I know this happens. I say, you keep saying that. What is happening with me? Why am I not having a stability in my bliss, in my joy? It's either going dry, very, very dry, or it's euphoric. So from the euphoria, I'm crashing. The highs, the peaks I'm making, and then I'm going back into the lows. And then he looked at me once, then I went to him and he said, you're going, you know what you are doing? You are in a golden prison. That's what you're doing. You're in a golden prison. And I said, what do you mean golden prison? And he said, you see, the obsession of pleasure from sex is an iron prison. Obsession of pleasure from wealth and power, that is a silver prison. An obsession from spiritual experiences is basically a golden prison, but it's still a prison. It is golden, but you're locked inside the prison. No, you want to, like, oh my God, what I'm going to do? I'm chasing. There's an obsession about it. There's a chasing of something, some experience, or I want something to experience in my beingness, and I want that to happen and this to happen, and I want so many different experiences that I have heard or read in the books about subtle bodies and causal bodies and about so many things I want to experiment. I would go to him and he would say, you know what, you're just getting into another obsession with something which is spiritual. That's it. It's still a prison, even though it's made up of gold. So he would tell me that time is that just for some time, his instruction would be that I would be so agitated because I was so much like, I have an OCD about spirituality. So I would just go, I just had to do 3 times, 4 times meditation in a day, hours and hours and hours, and then try and seek experiences from it, like get some experience so that I could write. I had huge diaries that I had made up of various experiences that I got, and even of diaries of where I felt absolutely nothing, absolute dryness. And I would get so frustrated, and I would write on the diary also, I'm frustrated, disappointed, I'm having no experience, I don't know if this technique works for me. Especially Kriya used to give me a lot of dry and highs. You know, it used to give me all this because it was a little mechanical sometimes. So I felt that there was always this risk of it being high and dry, both. So, and he used to just say to me, this is a golden chain or golden prison that you are holding yourself. Don't bind yourself with it. And then he would tell me that for a few days, just take a break. Take a break from your spirituality. Go into the world. Go into the self. Go, if you are into the self or obsessed about it and it is agitating you, then you need to take a break even from the self. And go into the world. Enjoy the world. Take the pleasure of the world. See the food. Go and have fun. Go and meet friends. You know, he would tell me this. And I would say, I don't feel like doing it. No, don't tell me that. I need to just sit in my beingness. I want to sit in my yoga. I want to sit in my kriya. That's what gives me happiness. And he says, you need to listen to me. I'm telling you. You need to get out of this. This is your obsession. See, the word he used always was obsession. So it's not that sex is bad. It's not that money is bad. It's not that power is bad. It's not that spirituality is bad. Of course, all of that has its relevance. But the problem with the obsession that we all have about something, we have lost a fine balance between both the things. And that's why I always tell in my instruction, you know, after that, when I realized and I listened to him, is that I would take a break of 1 week and I really felt good when I took that break. Because when I came back into doing my kriya or my spirituality or my practices, whatever practices were about I am or beingness or whatever. At that time, it was mainly kriya, not beingness, but whatever. Moving inside. In any way, just moving inside. I would stop going inside for a few days. And I found, surprisingly, that to be the best instruction that time. Because when I moved into the world, when I came back after a week, I had renewed energy, renewed strength, renewed focus. All of that was present. And somehow being into the world, being with the object into the world and into this at that time, I found that I could feel the self even there in the world, being with the people, being with the trees, hugging the trees, for example, or moving into the park, or just meeting somebody. I would see that for the first time. Because I was not doing any formal meditation, and I was not, mind you, I was not even doing any meditation. I was asked not to do even a waking state meditation, nothing. No mindfulness or not being like completely choiceless awareness or anything of that. Nothing. No, nothing. Just being normal person, going like a normal person and talking to people like normal and being with normal family and normal. At first few days, it was very odd because somehow I felt that I was not able to make the shift from going inwards, from making inwards to going outwards. It was taking me some effort, just like how it took me to make effort to move from outwards inwards when I first started my sadhana, because mind would keep moving at a certain pace and thoughts would keep coming. And I was struggling with all that when I was just started my sadhana. But slowly I realized that I had to break this, somehow this obsession of that happiness only lies within me. That's what we know, right? We've been told all the time, oh, happiness is something that lies just within me. It does, but after I have worked so much on the self, there is a certain kind of plateau that you reach or a peak that you reach. After that, you just need to take a break from this normal going inside of disciplining yourself or constantly moving inside, you know, doing bhajans or just closing your eyes and sitting for hours and hours and hours. And I found very interesting that when I move outwards, even though it took me little effort, I somehow released some kind of tension which was I had accumulated inside me. It just got released outwardly, just into the universe when I became more outwards. I don't know if I make sense or not, but actually you need to really try that and to see it. What I'm trying to say is that when you are having a lot of experiences or a lot of thoughts or lots of engagement inwards, try to break that. And I'm not saying break it every month. No, like I was doing it like 6 months and then taking a week off. So I'm talking about that much. You could do it like 4 months or 3 months. Take a week complete off from, don't even go and read a book. And that's the worst thing you would do. Like don't read any spiritual book that time. Don't read anything. I mean, off means off. Try to do that. What you will see is a very interesting thing is that somehow that self that you have been containing within tries to then pour out to everything. It has an expression outwards. And then you try to express it to around you. You start to feel things more better around you. Your senses gets more regenerated. It requires a little bit of, it requires a rest somehow. I feel even you're moving inwards, the gaze inwards or the attention inwards, the awareness inwards requires a little bit of rest. So that is a resting period. You kind of give rest to move inwards and try and move outwards. That's why I give some people sometimes when I tell them, 1 week, 10 days, don't do any meditation. Just be out of it and see what happens. And then they can balance. Automatically, there is a balance that happens in the body. Whatever experiences they're taking place, it balances off somehow. And you get back, when you get back into it, you kind of break through that plateau that you had reached. Mind is very, very, very tricky thing. And it creates an illusion, just like how obsession of, like I said, obsession, the first one was iron, about sex. People who are obsessed about sex, they see want to have sex or lusty thoughts. They can't live without those thoughts. They feel meaning in those thoughts and they get so much obsessed with that particular thing. So that's like an iron prison. And people who then want wealth or money, they're obsessed about that power. And that's why to break those obsessions, the masters have told us to go within to find the sense of self or beingness within us. However, that also is a trap, remember, because self is not just within you. Self is everywhere. And we often sadhaks and advanced sadhaks forget that. I forgot that because I felt, self is only within me. So I was trying to seek it inside me as an experience to get those experiences in meditation or to get some kind of validation or some kind of highs and euphoric feelings that I would feel from time to time. And when I didn't have it, then I felt, oh my God, dryness. So dryness would come when I didn't feel it. And I would get very moody, very emotional, very irritable when that thing was to happen. When these signs come, irritability, moodiness, and dryness, then always take it as a sign that you have done too much of inner work. And you need to move consciously out into the world. Take a break. Maybe you can take 3 days off, 4 days off from your meditation. Just take that break. And you would move away from the irritability and the moodiness. Otherwise, it will linger on. The dryness will linger on. The self and the world are not separate. It is also there. It is a reflection. It is a part of the self, just like the waves are the part of the ocean. The world is a part of the self. And we need to find the essence of what we have earned inside to be reflected into the world also, to be seen there. I was very, very removed, far removed from the world because of whatever I had read in the scriptures and whatever I was told or read by various masters in the traditions, right? But what I learned from my Guruji and from other gurus, real gurus, and I tell things which are reality-based, you know, reality. So my Guruji used to have time fixed. He would say, this is the time you do your meditation. This is the time you do your waking meditation. The rest of the time, forget about it. Just go into the world, enjoy what you feel, and, you know, whatever your bhog is, your enjoyment is, you continue to do all the jobs, continue to remain immersed in that job, but do not get obsessive either this way or that way. Maintain a balance between the, don't sway to one direction. And that's why I always tell in my talks and keep coming back, is to be in the center of both the world and the self. Because when you keep removing into the, being into the self, inwards, you might get intoxicated and you might feel that, but what you're doing is you're basically drying the self out. And then it is, then when you dry the self out, then you need something to bring back that euphoria or that feeling, because you have really sucked it up fully. So then you go to satsangs, retreats, or you listen to YouTube videos of masters and all those things, so that you can feel that churning again and feel the joy again in your heart. But that's not the whole, that's a temporary solution. The real solution is basically to go, and I'm giving you a tip on that. There's nothing wrong in listening to YouTubes or masters videos or doing, but you're missing the real point here. The point is that what God wants us to do is that it wants you to move into the world too. It wants us to go without, you're anchored in yourself, to trust that you're really anchored in yourself. You don't need to keep checking, like the way we keep checking. Is the self there? Am I feeling joy? Am I feeling? So it becomes a kind of obsession, like how a lover checks an obsession, is an obsession for another lover. He keeps checking her. Where are you? Now what are you doing? Okay, what have you, did you brush your teeth well? Okay, fine. What did you eat? So that's how it becomes our obsession with us, with ourselves. We need to trust the God. We need to trust the consciousness. We need to trust God that, okay, if you're giving me dryness, it's fine. I will go into the world. There are just so many flowers and beautiful things into the world. I will enjoy that. I enjoy the nature. I'll enjoy the beauty that lies outside, because it's also part of your creation. You get what I'm saying? It's also part of your creation. I will take all of that and feel you, and I will not go inwards with it. I will enjoy with all my senses, and you will see that it also becomes a meditation. Just like that. But without being obsessed about this or that, you don't get trapped into either of these polarities. None of these two things. You move from both. You move from self to object, object to self, self to object, object to self. Remain centered in between, so that you could go be in the middle. Be in the middle so that you can move either way, getting it in both ways. And then one day that will collapse. The polarities, you feel that they are two different things, will crumble and they will become one. You will see that it's the wave is also, the ocean is part of it. So that's what he meant by when he told me that, you know, you are a perfect case of obsessive obsession of the self being inwards. The instruction why most masters gave to go inwards was because we were hypnotized by the world, which makes us move outwards. But then we self-hypnotize ourselves also by trying to seek inwards all the time. It reaches a stage where you just can't break through that self-hypnosis till a guru comes and tells you, that's where your teacher comes and tells you, okay, this is the time for you to stop your meditation. This is the time for you to just stop your formal meditation and listen. And trust me, you're hearing this from me, right? You know, you're hearing this from me who, you know, work 6-7 hours a day sitting meditation, sometimes nights sitting in my meditation. But that really didn't really, I won't say that had I not done that, I could not have made the same kind of progress as I would have done it if I had compartmentalized my life. It's like I should have given much more, made it more compartment-wise. Okay, this is my time for meditation. This is my time for my business or whatever. This is the time for me to be with the family. This is the time for me to be with my friends. And then this is the time for me to be in meditation again. So this, if you can compartmentalize your life and be both in the world and be in the self, you'll be much more happier and you'll make faster progress in your spiritual world, as well as you will feel that you're not going against the wheel of karma. Because whatever karmic experiences you're supposed to have in this life is going to be in the humanness, and you allow that human, you have to allow that to happen. You have to allow that to take place in your life. And for that, you need to not sit in just in your room and sitting and breathing all the time. You need to move out and not be scared and fearful. Oh, am I going to be trapped again into the Maya? Am I going to be caught up into something? Because that was one of my fears too, is that if I move out into the world, am I going to be caught in some way into this or that? You know, and that fear also brought me back into myself, really going back. And that was a golden prison, because what was necessary was for me to go and see, to play that out. Consciousness has to play through you, either now or later, but it has to play through you. So you have to go with the faith, having faith in yourself that, okay, I'm going into the world. The world is not different from the self. And I'm going to see where it takes me. So that way, you break all the shackles and become free from every concept. That's what they say. Be free from all concepts. Means you're being free from all spiritual concepts. You're being free from all kind of discipline. And you're being free from the world also. Because if the world troubles you, you know where to run. You know you have to go home inside. Inside. And if the inside troubles you, just go outside. So run in the opposite direction. If any of the two things give you some agitation, just run in the opposite direction. That's the best way to do it. That's what I learned to do it in my way. Is when myself was, self means that was my own projection of what I considered to be a self. So when my own projection, my own expectations were such that it did not help me to go more deeper, then I used to take some conscious effort to move myself out of that my state and go into the world and try to make it more, make it more like the worldly way. But I realized that no matter, even if I was doing that into the world, somehow the self always remained with me in a much more beautiful way than I thought it would. So it was never actually going away from me. I was somehow tricking my own mind, which was tricking me by moving outside, because the mind was tricking me into believing that the self is inside me. But the self is everywhere, just like God is everywhere. Self is everywhere. So when I used this technique of when I felt that I reached a plateau, or whenever I felt that, oh, I'm not having that experience of the self that I wanted, or I'm having no more joy, okay, hell with it. I went outside, started walking, started watching some movie, or going for, you know, being with the family, being more involved somehow in something or other, social service, whatever you want to do, being with friends, And zoom, it would come back. The self would just come back. The more you chase something, the more it runs away from it. It is applies to both the outer world as well as it applies to your inner, because it's all the mind trick that it does. So one trick that I'm telling you today is to go into the opposite direction whenever you feel agitated about it, whether it's an agitation that is inside or an agitation due to something that's not happening outside. If you're agitated by some outer circumstances or situations, the right thing to do would be to move inwards. And if you're agitated or dry or feeling suffocated or frustrated or disappointed because you're not reaching somewhere that you thought you should be reaching by this time, as you feel, I've been putting so much work, I haven't reached here, then it's time for you to move outwards for some time. Just outwards to see it. And you see what I'm saying. It frees your mind. It frees your consciousness and awareness. So that's how, you know, that's what I wanted to share with you all about it. Is there any question before I could take the meditation? Is there any question regarding this? Or if Frank, you want to say something about this?
No.
Did I answer your question about what you were saying?
Yes.
About the world, about now you are understanding that way you had constricted yourself. Yes. You did not allow yourself to expand fully into the world. You had constricted yourself inside, only within. And so you're not able to feel that expanse. But by moving to the world, now you can see both the world and the self. So don't feel fearful of getting caught up. Because if it is in a destiny to get caught up into something, into some maya, as we say, right, you will be caught up. You can't stop that. You cannot stop the wheel of karma. It is going to happen. But how you can free yourself from that is if you're going to get caught up outside, move inwards.
Right.
Immediately. And if you're going to be caught up inwards, like the way you were and many people are, when they're caught up inwards, right, then the thing is take remedy where?
Out.
Yeah. Do this. Yeah. Do like this. Move here and back and forth and see the difference. Try this and you'll come to know what I'm talking about. Practical tips is what I believe in giving. Not just theoretical knowledge about everything. You will see it, how it makes you feel happier. You don't have to get, you will, main thing is not being in the human form. We have karmas and we have bhogas. Bhog means enjoyment and bhog means suffering, pain. We have to go through this. There's no other choice that we have because that is karmically laid out to us. It does not mean that by going inwards, I can save myself from the karmic implications of my body mind because it has to go through those karmic implications. However, I can reduce the intensity of the pain and the suffering by both of this by taking the opposite route. I'm giving you a hint here. Right? So whenever if you feel caught up into the world, you know the way. Go right inwards. And whenever you feel caught up here, just go outwards and see how that means. Let it the karmic let the karma happen, but your obsession should break, not your karma. Your action has nothing to do with your karmic impression. You can act without making any imprints of anything. That you have to learn. And once you're able to do that skill where the karmic impressions are not created by your karma, means it doesn't really matter. When it doesn't really matter, trust me, you're not having any karmic implications of it. Understand that. Okay? So then you can safely move into the world fearlessly. See, most people, unfortunately, in the spiritual life, they're very fearful about going into the world, or there was something will happen, or something unholy will happen, or some. Be fearless. Be fearless. Move with your, let the Shakti, allow the Shakti to move as it wants to move. But if you see yourself getting caught, immediately your intellect will tell you that you are getting caught here. Then just move. The karma will still happen, no matter what you do. The karma will happen, but the imprints of it will not touch you. Understand? If you are if you are aware of what I'm talking about, is when you know this route of moving here and there, then the karmic implications will not happen. So most spiritual people also, when they suffocate inside and they can't find that happiness, they get very much disappointed and frustrated, and they get into depressions, and they get into various kinds of issues within themselves. They create a lot of issues. And for them also, I'm saying the same thing also, that do not move. Don't think that you have to go more within to find something. On the contrary, when you feel dryness, don't get caught up into it. Move in the opposite direction. In a few days, it will automatically, the karmic implication of it will be over, and you will find the way back. So that's my message. You got it, right?
Yes, okay. Thank you.
Okay, welcome. I'll take Mario. You were asking question. Yes.
Yes. Now, when you are caught up with the world, what about, another way that I practice is to go within, rather than just stop and going within with meditation and so on, I just put awareness of being caught up with the world. For example, I might got up with something like Isha see me watching my football team play, and I got caught up with some unjustness and so on. So rather than be caught up with, catched by that attachment to something, I just shift into watching the being caught up, the persona who got caught up by a situation, and be there in both places, and also be able to enjoy, to look at the persona who got caught up, so that I don't have to stop and do meditation. I just put awareness at the moment, and I am able to be in a way with the self and outside at the same time. What about, is it something that, might be a useful thing to do?
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like that's a basic way of being in choiceless awareness, is that you are being aware of being caught up, you are being aware of being attentive all the most of the time of what's happening within you and what's happening around you. That's what waking state meditation is, that you're being aware of what, to whom it is happening. Is it happening to me? Or you can say, I'm getting caught up into something, I'm being aware of it. That's always fine. But one thing that I want to say is that, can there be a time where I can say that, okay, I want to drop even this. Like, I want to be free even from this. I want to be just myself. Okay, I'm watching my TV, and you know what? Don't stop me. And I'm getting upset, and I'm ready to get upset. So what's the big deal about it? It's like, just free yourself from it. Get angry sometime. What I'm saying is that don't be always like, when people like Krishnamurtis and people like, talk about all these things about awareness and all these things and all that, and then he would lose his calm, he would lose his own anger when someone would question him, because he would just get very and snap at that person. And that time, I don't know where his choices awareness would go. But the thing is that that time it did not do it. I'm not criticizing any teacher or master, but I'm just saying that for most of the time, you should do what they are telling us to do and what we are doing, the churning, burning, affirming. But I'm just telling you, sometimes just live in ignorance and say, okay, for a few days, 3-4 days or 5 days, I'm ready to let go of, I'm ready to let go even of awareness. And instead of practicing that, why don't you see whether the awareness happens on its own or not? Because often what happens is, how would we put into test something if you're all the time practicing it, and then feeling bad? Shit, I got angry at Keisha when I should not have. Okay, I got it. And Keisha gets a chance to tell you that, you know what, you just lost your cool right now. You know, you're not been practicing very well. And that's what happens with people. Like, and then you feel guilty as shit, man. Really, I did get angry with my, you know, why the hell did I do it? See, this is my problem with practices, is that their practices are very good to put a certain discipline about sitting, waking, all those things, which is what we should be doing. But it should not be to the extent that it becomes psychosis for us. It does, should not be, it creates a psychotic state in us, is that I am just kind of always tensed and stressed about it. I am observing myself all the time. I can't, you know, I'm always attentive. It doesn't have to be that way. Sometime, just let the, trust the awareness, whether it comes to you or not. So I'm just asking you all to experiment and see. I found great results by doing that. Was when I was sitting for meditations and doing my waking state in 6 months, I was doing very attentive. Everything was absolutely, you know, feeling dry, then high, dry, high, dry. Going through all of that, then I decided, okay, I've had enough for a week. I'm not going to do anything for a week. I'm going to enjoy myself. Guess what? I was better when I was not being aware. I was better in many ways because awareness would shoot up before I would take an action somehow. So I get to learn to trust that awareness is actually primary than my own effort of it. See, that's a great point. Awareness was always there before my effort of being in awareness. Because we always are trying to be in awareness all the time, but we don't trust the awareness that it will be there. So give yourself time to, we stress ourselves so much that we overdo it. We overdo everything. And sometimes you just need to let go of everything, including your practices, including awareness or choiceless awareness and all those concepts that has been built around it, around this whole spirituality with different masters giving different ways. I'm giving you kriya, then awareness, attentiveness. Someone talks about this. How much are you going to give to keep doing it? So for some time, for a week, take a holiday. Make it like an unspiritual holiday. Say, I'm not going to be spiritual in this 1 week. Zero spirituality, and I'm going to do absolutely what my mind wants me to do. I'm going to do whatever I want to do. If I want to feel dancing, I will dance. If I feel like, okay, I want to watch movies, and I'm going to watch movie the whole day, I'm going to watch movie the whole day, and I'm going to waste myself in whatever I want to do. Go shopping? No shopping. Shopping? Yes. Okay, Keisha, you're allowed shopping. So you can do whatever you want to do in that 1 week or 3 days or 4 days, whatever you decide in your own thing, you'll be surprised by how the awareness comes before your practice. You will not tell yourself, oh, I lost my cool. Somehow, you will come to know that you're very much calmer, better than that. Of course, then don't go to the other tangent and say that meditation was not good at all for me. No, because you have to come back into it again. But I'm just telling you to take this break because the mind can trick you there too. Mind will tell you, see, meditation was actually harming you. See, meditation was actually, this is much better. You're feeling much more joyous. You're feeling much more happier. So meditation is not to be done. This is how the mind tricks you into it. So golden rule, what I'm trying to tell you is simple. If your meditations are giving you trouble after a certain stage, move out into the world. Start laughing, start smiling, meeting people, going for picnic is like when I was small. Okay, going for parties, whatever. I don't know for what is, but you can do that. You all can do that. Ryan, young boy, he can do that. It'll relax him. It'll relax everybody. You know, people can just do different things, whatever they want to do in the world. They imitate the people of the world and do exactly what they're doing. So the best way is to see what your friend is doing. I have left with no friends, so I can't really say about that, but nobody wants to be my friend. But I'm such a boring guy.
We are your friends.
Oh, you are my friends. Yes, thank you for that. Please, I have good friends, of course, in you all who keep supporting me with all my things. But what I mean is that when you are watching people around you and seeing people around you and what they are doing, try to just do what they are doing for some time, 3-4 days. You know, it doesn't mean that, you know, Shankar, doesn't mean that you go and have a lot of booze, a lot of drinks, because just because someone is saying, and now that I have told you that you can do whatever you want, so you get drunk for all the time. But you can always have a little bit of drink with people just to break it, your thing, and see how that goes. I'm just giving you tips about everything so that you relax. Relaxing is very important to move into the self. And doesn't mean relaxing is only going to happen inwards. Relaxing also means that it extends itself to outward things. You should be equally relaxed outwardly. It makes no sense for you to be only inwards. I know many people, when I see some of the advanced spiritual people who come to me, and they are keeping their eyes always closed, and they are always, you know, inside all the time. And they feel like they're going. I respect that. I am like that. So I know what they're going through. But they lose some kind of connection with the reality that takes place at the outside. And they're missing one part of it, which is also the self. And I always say self is totality. Totality of what's inwards and outwards. So make the connection, bridge the two, outward, inward, bridge it. You don't have to be. You can be inward and focused and feel happiness inside you, and that's very nice. That means you're very centered inside, which is a very good quality. You won't find ordinary people closing their eyes and feeling the bliss. That's not happened. I can't see my sister-in-law, brother-in-law, or anybody, other people, closing their eyes and feeling the bliss. I mean, that's amazing if we can do that. But come on, we're not going to live like that all our life. Why? Because if we keep doing that, then it is a form, we get intoxicated, we get used to it, it becomes an obsession. That's what I'm trying to say. And when it becomes an obsession, then you stop your own development. And then you need to break that thing and move outwards so that you can go more inwards. You see what I mean? That's what I'm trying to tell. And then a time comes when the inward-outward paradox breaks. It breaks. It just becomes one. There is no inward and outward. It just feels like one ocean that you're floating inside. Bliss is outside too. In everything that I see, in everything that I do, there is so much bliss. I don't say the bliss is only inwards. That's very wrong. Bliss starts inwards. I get to the source of it. But it also extends to every living organism. It is there, everywhere. Whomever I see, whomever I feel, there has to be this feeling of compassion and love and the joy of meeting, feeling everybody. You know, Anjali has to say, right, Mario? I'll go back to Anjali, right? Okay. Yes, Anjali.
I just feel that because I am obsessed with the world, maybe there is a need to be obsessed with the inner. One has to arrive at that balance on one's own. And you had said, love thy God with all your heart and all your mind and all your spirits, right? Yes. This is something you had said, which is certainly worthwhile. But then how does one know the difference? And for a while, does one have to be obsessed with the inner in order to balance the obsession with the outer? This is my question.
I learned the hard way. I became obsessed with the inner.
Yeah.
Learned the hard way. I had to go into the world. Guruji, my guru told me, Kriya Guru told me, you have to go outwards. So enjoy the life, enjoy the world, be outward, be with the family, do work. I was told to do that way. I believed him. I trusted him because he was guiding me in that way, in that direction. But not many gurus tell you that. So gurus, the kind of guru who tells you, because he's marking all your progress. He's saying what is required to you at a particular time. You need a medicine only when you are ill. You don't. Medicine has got medicinal qualities, but it is only used when it is to be used, right? When you are ill. So same thing. When you are worldly ill, that means you are basically going into an obsession with the world. Then the pill is to go inwards. And when you are obsessed with something that's inner only, then the pill is to go outwards. And go in outward and see and feel and trust that it, the universe, the awareness is there. Now, when you are saying to me that your obsession is with the world, in what way do you think your obsession is with the world? You're obsessed with the thoughts of the world?
The outer identification with body mind, which generates fear.
Yes.
That is a kind of obsession.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. That I understand. And so your thoughts run in those directions. But you know you need something else. That is not what you need. You need something else.
Which is
what I will tell you in the meditation that we do. Okay. But you need to go inward. No question about that. Yes. More and more time has to be spent inwards so that you could feel the security and the anchor of safety of the self within, and you do not get troubled or agitated by the outer. That should not happen. Yes, no question about that. Okay. All right. Now we have only 15 minutes, so we will do a meditation for 20 minutes. All right. Okay. So, first of all, we sit very still, close our eyes. Now, as you all know that what keeps us away from our I-amness is the koshas, the impressions in the koshas, the various kinds of sheets, the five kinds of sheets that are there, that keeps us away from our real I-amness. Today's meditation is about dropping into the I-amness by moving from one kosha to another. When you sit in this meditation, there is no kriya. It's a different kind of meditation. It moves from one kosha to another kosha. And you will, by the end of this session, will be able to touch your I am-ness, the beingness, the direct beingness, directly through this meditation. That is why the name of this meditation is dropping into the I am, which also means dropping the koshas to move into the I am-ness. First thing is relaxing the body fully, completely. Relax your body. The body is the first kosha, Annamaya kosha. the food per sheet. Move firstly by relaxing lot of weight. As I said, the kosha is nothing but a weight that is kept on your I amness. It covers the I amness. Everything has a weight. And what we are doing is we are trying to remove the weight of the koshas. The first kosha, the body kosha, the anamaya kosha. You can feel the body. There's a lot of weight on your shoulders. So move your shoulders slightly upwards and drop it. Then move it upwards, drop it. Move upwards, drop it. Move upwards, and then drop it. Move upwards, and then drop it. Feel the weight which are there on the shoulders releasing itself. And be completely relaxed. Now, feel your body. Be aware of your body. Be very still. Feel the sensations. Feel the vibrations of the body. The body is made up of bones, blood. All of that you can actually feel from inside the circulation. Feel the contact that your body has made with the chair or your sofa. And then just drop it. Release all tension that seems to be there on your body. Feel the tension in your palms, your hands, and then just drop them. Let them drop anywhere they want to move. Take some time to feel the body. Feel the tension in your feet, the feet, the contact the feet has made with the ground. And if there's any tension, just relax it too. Mentally just relax the feet. Your shoulders relax, your hands are relaxed, your feet is relaxed. And you're just dropping your consciousness from the body. At first, the Annamaya Kosha, the body might feel like it is a lot of weight. As you keep mentally dropping the body and relaxing the body more and more, the weight that you feel will start to feel weightless. You might still feel the weight of the bones, of the hair, of the body, but somehow it will move away from your I amness. It is something that was above your I am, and now moving away from your I am. Spend some time feeling the weight of the body dropping and moving away from where I am. having dropped the Annamaya Kosha, we come to the next Kosha. We go to the breath. Bring your attention to the breath. Watch the breath move inwards, inhalation, and watch it flowing outwards through the exhalation. Your attention should only be on the breath as it makes contact with your nostrils. When you inhale the breath, you will see that it increases the weight of your body. You can feel some kind of weight. But as you exhale, you are letting go of that weight. So you inhale the weight of the breath. But when you exhale, you are exhaling the whole kosha, the pranamaya kosha, out. So make the exhalation deeper than the inhalation. And then we go into a deep exhalation, but very slow, releasing the weight of your breath. As you exhale deeply, you will feel that the body is even getting more and more relaxed. More and more relaxed. And the I am is feeling much more relaxed because the body has moved out of it. Now the breath is moving out of it too. So exhale, even the breath is moving out of your I am. Continue to do this for some time. You might even feel that there is no need to take some breath. You might feel the breath has stopped on its own. And there's a pause. Allow the pause to be. And then there would be a little inhalation. And then a deep exhalation. Followed by a pause. Or there would be an inhalation. Then a deep pause. And a deeper exhalation. Body has moved out of your I am. The breath is moving out of your I am. Now we come to a place of thoughts, the Manomaya Kosha. As you become more still and relaxed by excluding the body and the breath from the I am, the challenge that you will feel now would be through negative and positive thoughts. Mostly negative thoughts will going to come at this time. Your mind will feed you negative thoughts. It is very important at this time that you replace the negative thoughts by positive thoughts. Those negative thoughts will have reference to some story or something that is happening with you in a present moment. It will come and disturb your stillness. It is very important for you at this time to perfect this skill of replacing the negative thought by a positive thought. So whenever a negative thought comes, just tell to yourself that I am safe. This is the best thing that's happening to me. God always protects me. Or I love God, or God loves me. And never allow the demon of negative thoughts to enter inside the kosha or inside the I am. The Manomaya kosha is very tricky kosha. It is a mind related kosha. And often it always has impressions of those kind of thoughts that we have fed to ourselves entire life. This is where you meet your thoughts, the Manomaya Kosha. When you have relaxed yourself, it will come and disturb you. Always replace the negative thought by any positive thought that you can think and feel. Like, I am getting healed. I feel so much love. I am love myself, etc., etc. Just replace it. Never allow any bit of negativity to enter and pollute your I am-ness. This is the Manomaya Kosha. In our life, we have good experiences and bad experiences. There are good stories about us and bad stories about us. While we are sitting in meditation, the impressions of Manomaya Kosha are usually negative. They come to surface and disturb the stillness of our I am-ness. And it is very important, before we reach to a state of neutrality, where both positive and negative thoughts are not there, but it is very important first to tackle the negativity, the negative energy that resides within us, which has become a habit for us and which reflects in our deep meditation. Always replace the negative by a positive thought, even if you do not feel at that moment that it is going to happen, but you have to firmly believe that it is going to happen. The positive thought is going to happen. This way you take away the weight of the Manomaya Kosha that has attached itself to the I am-ness. So in today's meditation, we have three things that we have to do, which take these three important koshas and how to remove them from the I am-ness. I want you to practice these three things for the coming 10 days, 15 days till we meet again. Practice this meditation. Relax in the body and taking the weight of the body out of your I am. Relaxing and exhaling the breath. Taking the breath or the weight of the breath from your I am-ness. And then taking away the weight of negative Manomaya Kosha out of your I am. These three things, practice it every day for 15 to 20 minutes in this way. And then in the next satsang, we will be talking about the guided meditation of the next two kosha. So till then, I'll see you in the next satsang. I love you all. Thank you. Please practice this. Please never allow the serpent of negativity to ever arise in your life, because you can change everything through your sheer thought. Everything is possible. The reason why we are not able to feel our I am-ness in the spirit is because of all the koshas and negativity that is assembled, the imprints, the impressions and all these koshas. As we release them one by one, and as we drop them one by one, we will effortlessly drop into the I am-ness. This is a very direct method of going into the I am. Instead of doing the churning, burning and affirming, which also has got its significance, which is another way of doing it. I love you all. I will see you in my next satsang.